Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining in on the podcast. This is the only podcast that I know of that's just for emerging fashion designers on the business side of things. I am Jane Hamill, and I am super, super excited because today we have a special guest. I'm going to be interviewing Meredith from Meredith Banzoff Designs, and she is one of the coolest cats in town, let me tell you. I'm in Chicago. She's in New York. I can't even tell you where we met, but I'll bring her on in just a second. I think at a trade show in New York. And she has a line that she's been doing a little over 2 years now. It's just about 2 years. And she's been trying some things out with her sales that are really rocking it. And she has been so generous and lovely and agreed to come on the show and share some tips and what's really working for her and what she's tried, what didn't work, what's working now, what she would suggest other designers try. So, Meredith, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, Jane.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for coming today. I'm so excited. You are just a doll to do this and to share your expertise.
Oh, certainly. I'm happy to.
Okay, cool. So why don't we start with something simple, if you just tell everybody who you are and what it is that you do.
Sure. So my name is Meredith Banzoff, and I launched a contemporary women's clothing line about 2 years ago, specializing in shirting that does not gape at the chest, and it has now evolved into shirt dresses. And so it's a comes in solids and fun print, but the focus is all on fit and comfortable clothing that is the easy button in the morning.
The easy button. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. Something you don't have to think. I think you described it the other day as just grab a shirt and go. And I love that. Because I wear jeans almost every day, so grabbing the shirt is not that hard for me with the, if I have the jeans. Or grab the shirt dress, too. So tell me this. You're currently, I know you're selling wholesale, meaning selling to other stores. Are you selling other ways as well? And how did you start selling compared to what you're doing now that it's been 2 years?
Certainly. So when I started selling, looking back on it, it now was more, I consider, beta testing. And so I did a lot of home parties. And I was trying to get my name out there, and so the people that I knew were my friends and family. So I started there, and I did a lot of research and researched boutiques, but I knew that it was going to take a lot of time to build the boutique buyer relationship, so I went for what was easy, selling to your friends. So I started with home parties, and I found that it was more valuable than I thought it would be because it gave me a chance to see my clothing on all different body types and see the fit and hear the feedback from people that I knew or friends of friends or my parents' friends. So it helped me to perfect my first collection, the product, before I went into production. So that was a huge help and surprise that was unexpected.
Oh, I love that. That it's you considered it almost like a beta testing to get the product perfect.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really thinking of it at the time. At the time, I was just like, it's my first line, and I want to get sales. So when you get sales and you're selling it retail or, you know, friends and family, I gave, like, the friends and family discount, which is, like, 30% off. But still, it was higher than your wholesale, so you're still making out. So the goal in the beginning was money, but it turned out to be much more beneficial as far as fitting the product on real women. And it was women not in the city. It was women in the suburbs where I'm from and in upstate New York where my fiancé is from. And so it was perfect. That's where the boutiques are that I'm targeting. So it was those women. It wasn't New York City women. So I lucked out.
That's awesome. And so you I totally get this. You and I think it's smart, too. You said something so smart. I hope everybody really hears it where you said, I knew it was going to take some time to build those relationships. So you were already thinking kind of long term. You weren't thinking, I want a quick sale. You were like, I want some sales, so I'm going to do this home party thing. And I know the store is going to take longer to develop.
Exactly.
So then walk me through that. So then, all right, so you do some home parties. And actually, even if I could pause myself, even before we get to the how you started to get into stores, when you're selling at those home parties, can you explain to us, like, were you selling stock right away? Were you doing pre-orders? Have you done both? And which one do you feel, you know, worked for you?
So when I started, it was at the Fall 13 collection, and so I was started my home parties in February of that year. So there was still 6 months before it got delivered. And so I was doing pre-orders. And how I tested the fit, I was selling shirting. So I had my basic fit, my classic shirt made in 0 to 16. And so women could try on their size and then pick from the six different shirting styles, all cut based on the classic fit. So they could figure out their fit and pre-order. And then as I got closer in season, I did another party in upstate New York, and I found that I had some actual immediate stock items available, and I found people love cash and carry. And mm-hmm. so I was able to sell a lot more cash and carry than pre-orders. And the complication I found with pre-orders was, so I showed them the whole collection, and as we all know, when you go into production, it doesn't make sense to produce every single style and every single color. You ultimately have to make cuts to make it financially make sense. And so I had trouble. People were wondering, oh, where are my items? Because they forgot that it was going to take 6 months, or maybe there was a certain color that I wasn't producing because I only sold two.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have costed me, it would have been sampling, cost the same amount as my samples, and it would have been more than, you know, selling them just the one shirt. So
uh-huh.
I ultimately, to make them happy, I made the shirt and I lost money just because I had already promised it to them. But moving forward, I would never do that again. So I think pre-orders are really risky.
Okay. And plus, a 6 month delivery time is tricky. But I just love how honest you're being here. This is so great. Thank you. Okay, so you start out and you're doing what you can do, man. So I know I've been working with you pretty much off and on the whole 2 years. And I remember the pre-orders, you had some really good shows, okay? So even though the pre-orders, I think you remember as rocky, there were some pretty damn good shows there. So you're selling you're selling
some
stuff.
We sold a lot. We did well.
Yeah, you did well. You did well. Okay, so then it's time to start reaching out to the stores. Tell us about what you did, and why don't we start with what you first started doing and then maybe move on to what you're doing now, or is there a way you think is better to explain it?
Sure. Well, when I first started reaching out, I was scared, like most people. So walking into a store and doing a cold
call
is nerve-wracking. So I would send an email and then, you know, do a follow-up email. And I was nervous to make that phone call. And what I did to get over the hump was so I'm from New York, but I booked a ticket to Chicago. And I mapped out a route of stores. And I have a girlfriend there, so I borrowed her car. And I sent emails letting them know that I was coming in advance. Most people said, oh, we're too busy, oh, we don't see people in stores. But I had already booked that plane ticket. So I had no choice. Being in Chicago, I wasn't just going to be scared and sit at home or sit in a hotel. I was forcing myself to go out there and make the trip worthwhile. Otherwise, it's just an expensive plane ticket for nothing.
I love it.
I put myself in a situation that was awkward, but made me force myself to walk into the stores and introduce myself. So I went to, I think it was 15 boutiques, and that really helped get me over the hump. And then, so I wasn't getting a ton of response based on just emailing. And going mm-hmm. into the stores helped, but still, I wasn't necessarily getting that sale. I was introducing myself, but it wasn't translating into an acknowledgement or an appointment. So I started a new system.
Okay, so can I just get it straight? So, and I remember when we had breakfast when you were here in Chicago. That was awesome. So you book a ticket. You're like, I'm going. And you had a list, and you went into 15 stores. You had emailed them before to say, hey, I'm coming. Can we meet? And the response was like, maybe. And so you felt like you made a little headway in getting introductions, but you weren't getting the sales yet.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So that's a lot of effort. So were you frustrated? Did you feel like, oh, I'm getting there? Or what was your – on the plane back to New York City, what did you feel?
So I had – before I left, I had I crossed paths with somebody in the industry who does selling, and mm-hmm. I don't remember who she was, but I remember her saying that it generally takes 10 outreach or points of contact to get a response. So I already automatically knew in my head, okay, visiting the store was one point of contact. Now, sometimes I'll get a response on, you know, the first or the third or the fifth, and then those bigger stores that you're aspiring to get in contact with, it may take 10 or 15 tries to get an appointment. So knowing that and knowing how difficult it was, and also knowing that my expectations were to sell to one store out of 10. So if I could get one store to pick up the line, even if it was just one style, you know, 6 units, just to try the line, try the fit, I was going to be happy.
You know, I wish, I'm going to retape this 50 times and plaster this all over my website, because even a woman I was talking to the other day, I think she was so frustrated that she wasn't getting as many sales. And I was like, you've been trying for 2 months. I think a lot of us just, you know, maybe we read things in Inc. magazine and we think it's going to go like, boom, but it takes time. Okay, so you're feeling fine. You've made some good contacts. You had a great lunch with Jane. You're back in New York. And now what happens?
So I'm back in New York, and I had also opened up a showroom based in New York prior to leaving. So based on that trip to Chicago, I was able to, I brought at least one of the stores that I had visited, then agreed to book an appointment with me during Coterie. So I was happy about that. And then another trip I took was to the D.C. area, and one of those stores out of 15 again was willing to come and see me in my showroom in New York. So I was noticing that, you know, out of the 15 stores that I visited, I got one of them to come into the showroom and to the collection, and both of them ended up buying. So because they gave me the time of day, because I made the effort to visit them first and see them on their turf, they then were willing to come in to me, give me, you know, 10 minutes of their time, view the collection. And because I'm hungry, because I really want to make sales, I think they saw my passion. And we may be out of just pity, or maybe my excitement rubbed off about the collection.
Stop.
They picked up the line. So I don't care why they picked up the line. I'm just happy that they did.
Okay, so I, as you know, owned a store for 14 years. And in my life, I have not made a pity buy. A pity buy might be my friend's cousin who has some jewelry at $15 a piece. I mean, no way. They are in business. They came to your showroom and placed an order. I got to tell you, Meredith, that is not, no way. No pity buys. Okay, cool. So you're getting some orders, and then you're refining your sales process, and keep going. I'm loving this.
Okay, so... But what I found is, so I only got the 2 stores to come into the showroom, and all the stores that I'm reaching out to, the other 250 on my list, are still not responding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, what can I do to get them to respond? And so I changed my strategy for this past season. So I did a big road trip in March. So we sold in February for fall 14, and then we did a big road trip in March. And what I did was I did a new process. And so my strategy was on day zero, send out an email introducing myself, making it very personal and saying, hi, dear Jane. Hi, my name is Meredith Bansoff. I do X, Y, and Z. I would embed a picture, do a little blurb, and then, you know, I would love to get your feedback, or I would say, because I was going on a road trip, I said, I will be in your town on Tuesday, March 5th, or whatever it was. And so I was not expecting a response back. It was just to give an introduction and let them know that I was going to be popping in. Mm-hmm. Also on day zero, I would send a postcard with the exact same image that I embedded in my email to them and wrote the exact same message. Hi, my name is Meredith. I'll be in your area Tuesday, March 5th. And so then, so that's day zero.
Wait,
then
can I just interrupt for a quick second so the people listening understand? I know what you're saying, because Meredith is talking about day zero, meaning like if I'm going to be there in 15 days, that would be day 15. And so how far out do you start your marketing each outreach? It's something that we would talk like that in our in the marketing course with Fashion Brand or in the Sell to Boutiques course. But just so you guys know, so like today is day zero, tomorrow is day one, day two, day three, et cetera. Okay, cool. So day zero, you send an email and then you...
And I would, and 2 weeks out to visiting was the perfect amount of time, because then I would be able to reach out to them probably five times between now and 2 weeks from now seeing them. So 2 weeks, it was not too far out, but I was still on top of their brain.
All right. Okay, so 5 points of contact in 2 weeks. Love it. This is great. And you know what's great about you, Meredith, is you took the basic things that you learned, and you're like, this is working okay for me, right? And then you decided to totally get resourceful and creative and put your own spin that suited your brand, and that's when the magic started to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Keep it on.
And then, so I have, so there's different ways to reach out to buyers. So there's an email, a phone call, a postcard. You can send a snail mail lookbook, and then they're stopping in the store. So my strategy is basically I rotate those. So I go down the list and do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I just keep rotating between those five different ways to contact. And if I come up with something new, I'll add it in the mix. But I find that just reaching out consistently, everybody likes to receive their information differently, and you don't know which way the buyer likes to communicate. So you're guessing when you send something. So maybe they don't read their emails, it goes to an assistant. Maybe they don't see that postcard that you sent them, you know, but maybe when you call on that day, you know, you may just so happen to catch them. So I think it's important to rotate because you never know what's going to get in front of them. That's why it takes 10 points of contact, because they may only receive five.
It's funny, and that's why we feel like stalkers, because we've contacted somebody. No, it's clear, just to be clear, guys, you're not contacting them five times in 2 weeks all year round. This is
no.
Meredith is talking about before she's going on a road trip to visit them, or before market, right? Okay. But that's why we start to feel like stalkers, because we feel like, my gosh, if they haven't responded by now, they're not interested. But the fact is, we don't even know which ones they've seen.
And I'm timing my road trips based on when the buyers are thinking about buying for that season. So whatever, there's a specific timeline for when they're thinking about a certain season. And so I try to coincide with when their brain is on, okay, I'm buying today. Because boutiques are small, generally the buyer is the owner. And so that owner is doing multiple jobs. They're managing the floor, they're merchandising, and then they have a specific, you know, window of time that they buy each season. And so I try to figure, when I go into the stores, I ask them, when do you generally buy? Where do you travel to buy? Do you like when I come to you, or do you travel to New York, Atlanta, Vegas? Where do you buy? So, and I make those notes in my buyer spreadsheet, that I can try to reach out to them the way that they like to be contacted.
It's amazing.
And their time frame, so that I'm not bothering them.
Yeah, then you're honoring each specific buyer and their personal tastes.
Mm-hmm.
That
helps build the relationship. And then once they feel like they have a connection with you, the relationship gets much more casual, and then they're interested, oh, what do you have next season?
Mm-hmm.
So far I've had two stores out of all the stores I sell to now that I've built a strong relationship with, and they're curious, oh, what's coming next? And they reach out to me.
Oh, that's unbelievable. And then all of a sudden that scary call is not so scary at all, because they're looking for you. They're going after you.
Right. And now you have to treat them like friends, I feel like.
I think that's a big point. Treat them like friends instead of like marketing, like you are the customer, I am selling you. Like, we're in this together. Let's work this. So when you went on a road trip, you said you went on a road trip in March. And I just want everybody to kind of understand how much hustle you have. Like, Meredith, you are very, very, really, I mean, you're an incredible example of how to get shit done. Because you know, a lot of people say, well, I want to sell in Chicago, but I don't know how to do that. I need to find a sales rep. How about this? You spend $190 on a ticket, you stay with friends, and you stop by 15 stores. You know, so tell me about the hustle that was involved in that road trip. How many states or, I don't know, cities did you go to, and how many stores did you stop by? Do you know?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'll tell the most recent one.
There's been many. I love it.
There's been many. There were two. There was a long one where we... In January, we took 10 days, and I brought a friend with me, or my mom, to help drive. And so, but beyond that, you can do this by yourself. You don't have to have someone with you. But so I planned out an itinerary. We started in Hilton Head. So we drove from New York down to Hilton Head. And there we stopped at our first store on Monday morning, 10 a.m., and I always get up, and I try to be at the store at, like, 9:50 so that we don't waste any time throughout the day, and we can just hit the first store and then move on. Mm-hmm. And so we hit Hilton Head, went down to Jacksonville, peppered the coast to Palm Beach. Then we drove across the bottom of Florida to Naples, and then, you know, peppered up the side, the West Coast, and then crossed back through to Jacksonville, and we wanted to hit Savannah beforehand, but it was Martin Luther King Day, so there was going to be a big parade. So we skipped it on the way down, so we hit Savannah on the way back and did Savannah and Charleston. And keep in mind, on Charleston and King Street, that's a big street with a bunch of boutiques. There were maybe 8 boutiques that we hit up just on that street. So when we did this trip, we did 10 days. It was 3,000 miles driving and hit 52 boutiques. And with this trip, I had done the process of 2 weeks in advance, letting them know I'm coming, doing the postcards. And the night before, I would send an email. Well, I would do phone calls to let them know also. And the night before, I would always send an email, just a reminder, I'm stopping by tomorrow. Because sometimes on your road trip, you can gauge the day, to the best of your ability, but sometimes, some days you hit 5 boutiques because they're really spread out. Some days you can hit your 8 or 9 because they're a little bit closer. So, but I would always just try to keep them in a loop, just like you're having lunch with a friend. Sorry, we got caught up. I won't be there tomorrow as expected. It'll be Wednesday morning. Does that work for you? And so just very casually I'd send these emails. And we met most of the buyers. And it happened to be... I was selling immediate spring, summer. And so it was January, and it was this winter was really cold in Florida. And so because all of my shirts have sleeves, we didn't sell any. We sold, I think, to one store that I already had.
It was hot this summer, this winter, you mean, in Florida?
No, I think it was, wasn't it cold?
Oh,
in
I don't
the
know.
South?
It was, cold here.
Because we had the polar vortex.
So that was fun,
Yeah, so that, it also affected down south a little bit.
Okay.
But overall, my product mix wasn't perfect for them, which was fine. The point is, they got to meet me. And the point is that I got to see their store and their mix. And so next time I go to pitch or I go to call, let's say Cindy or whoever it is, I know what her store looks like. I know what she looks like. And I know what items may be best so that I can sell those as opposed to selling my long sleeve items.
And you have
or maybe
all,
they like print.
But and you have all these notes on your big ass spreadsheet, right? And your big huge Spire.
So what I do to make it easy is I have my spreadsheet on Google Docs. So I can pull up Google Docs on my phone or an iPad or on the computer when I get back to the hotel, and I put in my, I make every time, it's just like when you do an interview, and when you're looking for a job. So you go in and you get interviewed by the company, and then when you leave, you always write notes about the interview so that you can send a thank you note and add something pertinent about the conversation you had. So I treat it just like, you know, when I'm hunting for a job. And so every time I leave, I have my little notebook. And in the notebook, I scratch down notes really quickly. We hop in the car and we go to the next one. And we don't waste any time. We just go in. I stop by and I say, hi, is Cindy there? Because that's the person I've been trying to reach out to. And I say, you know, my name is Meredith Bansoff. I just wanted to stop by and put a face with the name and introduce myself. And so I don't really say what I'm selling, because generally I'm talking to someone on the floor, or like someone behind a desk. So then they go in the back and they find Cindy. And they say, oh, Cindy, Meredith's good to see you. So she doesn't really remember who I am, or maybe she does, but she hasn't met me before. So I just say, you know, do you mind if I leave you some line sheets? You know, if she's willing, I can gauge and I'll tell her a little bit more information about who I am. And then sometimes, if we're lucky, then they ask, oh, do you happen to have some samples with you? And then you say, of course, they're in a suitcase in the car. So you run to the car, grab your suitcase, and then you get to show the collection.
Boom. I know you sold out of a few dresses right away doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me just see if I have this right. So I'd love to do this all day, but we have our time, our podcast time. So, all right, so you started out and you started with some home parties because it was easier and people were available. You did a little bit of pre-sale. You did notice that when you did home parties with immediates, people like cash and carry, they get immediate gratification. Your outreach, you were nervous to make that phone call. Are you nervous now when you call stores?
No. I'd say probably once you hit about 50 boutiques, it gets a lot easier.
Oh,
and now
so
that
good.
I've done like 200, I could care less.
Yeah.
I pick up that phone, and I'm just happy to give them a call and check in, and I just treat them like a girlfriend.
That's so great. And sometimes girlfriends are busy and a little nasty, and sometimes they're nice.
Right? And you never know, and it may not be that they're being nasty at you. You never know what's going on in their lives, but don't ever take it personal.
Oh, that's such good advice, and I still on occasion struggle with that. Okay, and then the amount of hustle that you've done, I just want to really point that out, and also to say that your expectations were that you would get to one store out of probably 10, and that it takes 10, almost up to 15 points of contact to get an appointment, really, or to get even contact. And then because you were hungry, you just kept at it, and then the sales started coming in, and I know they're still coming in, and I know things aren't like, oh, it's gravy now, but I think it's going very well, and
yeah.
I'm just super excited.
And what I found is, to give people hope for the amount of persistence it takes, the first order may be small, and that's okay, because if you stick with building the relationship, your second order will double, if not triple. As long as you've built that relationship, I found that because they trust me, because I'm communicating with them frequently, my first order is small, but once they like your product, as long as it fits well, you ship on time, all those good things, and it sells for them, then the next order will not be as small.
I think that's a great, great point, Meredith. If you have a good product, you work so hard on your fit and your quality, and so it's retailing for them, and they're going to come back for more when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're just testing the waters the first time. So don't be upset if that order is only $700.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to do that all the time with my store. I'd say, can I just try 5 pieces? I just don't want to try a bunch here, you know? So tell me this. If there's one, if you're going to start over today, all right, what would you, is there something you would do differently? Is there one, I wouldn't even call it a mistake, but sort of a 2020 hindsight, one thing you'd say, I would have done this differently?
I probably would have reached out to stores and told and introduced myself as to who I am or the brand is, as opposed, before I send that first line sheet, probably what I would have done is given an introduction. I would have not sold, that it's just like when you get introduced to, I don't know, say like Fresh Direct, and it's, this is who we are, this is what we do, this is what we can offer you. And, you know, then invite them to come look at your website or look at something, but more just give an introduction. As opposed to, because my first emails out to boutiques were sell, sell, sell. And I think if I had been a little softer on the introduction, a little friendlier, then I might have gotten there faster.
Ah, that's so interesting, because you are after, you're a true example of somebody who's after the long-term customer, the relationship, not after the quick sale. So you'd approach it with that mindset in even a more obvious fashion.
Yeah, it's like when you're looking for a mate or you're looking to date someone, you go to a bar, you go wherever, and you introduce yourself. And on the first time you meet them, you're not going to say, "I want you to meet my boyfriend." you just want to meet them, and you'll introduce yourself, but you'll also ask questions about them. So I think I would have been smarter if I had introduced myself, but then also maybe I should have visited more boutiques in the beginning, but really just do my research and see, like, what do you sell? What do you like to buy? But check it out, and maybe done more, like, feelers. Because I did the same thing when I found my fabric, when I did my factories, when I was looking for a PR company, which I still don't have, by the way, but what I would do is I'd interview people. It's just like informational interviews. And so I feel like I should have done more informational interviews before I started to get to know them, not just pushing me.
That is such good advice. Oh, my gosh. I hope every single person listening is really taking notes on that. It's not about getting the sale the first time you call somebody. It's really, do we want to date first?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Meredith, this has been so awesome. I can't even thank you enough for your honesty, your graciousness. You're a true professional. I have nothing but respect for you and your brand. If you want to take a look at Meredith's pieces, it's meredithbanzoff.com. I will put a link in the show notes so you can find it more easily. And if there's other things we talked about here, I will list those in the show notes as well. I think even just I can't remember. There's something else I wrote. I'll put in the show notes. Any last words, anything you want to leave us with? And I know that's a kind of a dumb question. It always puts me on the spot when someone does that to me. But is there anything I didn't ask that you think I should have?
I mean, I can wish everyone good luck.
Yes, good luck. Awesome. You're
good
a
luck
true
and
testament.
Just keep at it. Keep at it. You'll get there.
Keep at it. You'll get there. I can't wait to see what is new with you. Believe me. Trust me, Meredith Banzoff, this woman is going places. And thanks again for your honesty. You have helped so many emerging designers today, and you totally rock.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Bye, everybody.